This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Did you think you got through the hurricane with no damage, only to find mold weeks later festering in your walls? Well, you're not alone. Later in the show, we'll talk with a mold mitigator, a doctor, and a home watch professional about finding and getting rid of mold, and we'll hear whether so-called toxic black mold is as bad as it sounds. But first, the Trump administration announced last night it is ending temporary protected status, or TPS, for the roughly 50,000 Haitian nationals that have been living in the United States since the devastating 2010 earthquake that killed more than 200,000 people and displaced more than a million others. During a press conference last night in Miami, Royce Murray, he's the policy director at the American Immigration Council, said in the decision made by acting Secretary of Homeland Security Elaine Duke implies that conditions have improved in Haiti.
And the most recent decision that had been made prior to tonight on Haiti was just 6 months ago, when then Secretary Kelly, who was then the Secretary of Homeland Security, found that the conditions on the ground in Haiti continued to meet the criteria for designation. That was just 6 months ago, back on May 24th, 2017, where they reviewed the country conditions and found that the compounded nature of problems, the earthquake and the recovery from the earthquake, as well as these subsequent events, the cholera epidemic, the later hurricanes, the food shortages, the heavy rains that have caused additional flooding and landslides in parts of the country, all of this together merited TPS extension. And yet here we are 6 months later with Acting Secretary Elaine Duke making a contrary finding, that apparently things have improved dramatically over the last 6 months such that they no longer qualify.
TPS protection will terminate on July 22nd of 2019, giving Haitians under TPS 18 months to return to Haiti or become subject to detention and deportation. We're joined now by a local immigration attorney to find out what this means for the thousands of Haitians living and working here in Southwest Florida. Christina Ledeen is an immigration attorney at the Amigo Center in Fort Myers. She's been an immigration attorney since 1995, so she's seen a lot of changes over the years. Christina, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you. Just to clarify, I'm a accredited representative under Department of Justice, under an agency that's a nonprofit, Amigo Center. So I'm not an attorney, but I have the right to practice law under the nonprofit.
Oh, okay. So to provide these kinds of assistance to people who otherwise might not be able to afford attorneys?
Yes, yes. So we're Department of Justice accredited representatives, and every 3 years we renew our accreditation.
Okay. But you do know your way around TPS and the immigration laws as they apply. We would like to also invite our listeners to become part of the conversation. Maybe you have or know someone who has TPS status, or maybe you just have a question about how that status is gained. Give us a call to join the conversation at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Christina, with the Amigo Center in Fort Myers, did this decision last night come as a surprise to you?
We were hoping we would get an extension for 18 months, which we got, because the last extension was only 6 months, and so they have to pay the same amount of money, but they only got 6 months. So, I mean, we're thankful that we got 18 months. We're not thankful that it's been terminated, because in 18 months, most of our Haitian clients are not going to leave. Many of them have homes. They've worked here for years. They have many U.S. citizen children. And, you know, the Haitians that we've worked with over the years since the 90s, if they have to leave the U.S. because they've ran out of avenues to stay in the U.S., typically we've seen them go to Canada or St. Martin or France. But, of course, St. Martin was wiped out by one of the hurricanes this summer, too. So that's probably not a good opportunity, you know. But we have many Haitians who went to Canada.
Well, I wanted to ask, what are your thoughts about the soundbite we just heard? We listened to someone talk about kind of a rapid turnaround on the prognosis for how things are on the ground in Haiti. From what you know, have things improved enough in Haiti to end TPS?
I don't believe so. I mean, there's still many people homeless from the earthquake in 2010. Last year, Hurricane Matthew hit parts of the island very hard and wiped out many of the crops. So we've now got food issues, and cholera has been going on for a number of years, and flares up, and, you know, Zika. So I would say no, things have not improved in 6 months. That should, you know, send 50,000 people back.
So can you explain to me a little bit about how temporary protected status works? You mentioned earlier that there was only a 6-month extension, and now we have an 18-month extension, and they have to pay every time there's an extension. How does that work?
So usually when TPS is announced for a country, either because of a war or a natural disaster, they're given 18 months, and they can apply for a work permit with the TPS. That cost currently is $495. Last summer, they had not decided what they wanted to do long-term, so they only gave what they called a 6-month extension, but they charged the same price, $495. So, and you had to apply to stay in it, because if you don't stay in the program, then when a new renewal comes, you can't jump back in. So last summer, everybody was spending $495 to get a 6-month work permit. Many of them still don't have that work permit. They're still waiting for it to come. And then when it comes in the mail, it's going to be good until January 22nd, 2018. And, you know, at some point within the next couple of weeks, the government will open up for them to renew. And then they'll get this 18 months, which will give them a work permit until July 2019. But, you know, is it $495, and with everything we've been through here in Southwest Florida with the hurricane, many people out of work, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, it does add up, especially only for 6 months. It's weird how that time stretches out, 18 months and 6 months, still the same price. So
yeah.
What are the conditions that make people potentially eligible to receive TPS status?
In general, like for Haiti, the earthquake was January 2010. So when the government first opened up TPS January 2010, you had to have been here within, like, when the earthquake happened January 2010. Then in 2011, they actually redesignated Haiti as a TPS country, which meant people that had come in the year following the earthquake could also apply. So we had people that had been here since 2011 that may have come in sometime in 2010. Many were brought in because of medical issues after the earthquake. Okay. And so those people could then apply. You know, so typically you have to be from Haiti for that example. But we do have children of Haitians that were born. Some were born in the Bahamas. Some were born in St. Martin because the parents at some point had left Haiti, were living in St. Martin or in Bahamas, and then moved into the U.S. And so some of those kids, even though they're born in that other country, can claim the Haitian citizenship through their parents. So we do have some young people from those islands that are also under Haitian TPS.
Mm-hmm. So how many clients do you have that are from Haiti on TPS in our area that are going to be impacted by this?
I can tell you since 2010, you know, we've been working. As soon as the program opened, I mean, we have hundreds of Haitians that we've been doing in Lee, Charlotte, Collier County.
So who are these people? I mean, what kind of jobs are they doing? What impact is this going to have on our community and its workforce?
Many of them, many work in the CNA, Certified Nursing Assistants. Some have moved up to LPN, Licensed Practical Nurse. Some are RN, Registered Nurse. So we have a whole group that work. A lot of them work in the nursing homes, places like Shell Point Village, assisted living facilities. Some work in the hospitals. Then there's a lot that work in the restaurants, in the kitchen. There's many that work in the hotels, especially on the beaches, you know, either in housekeeping or in maintenance or in the kitchens of the restaurants attached to the hotels. So, and depending on what their position are, you know, whether they're a cook or a CNA or LPN or RN, you know, these are skilled positions that somebody new can't move into overnight.
Yeah, you got to have somebody that has some skill going into a nursing home and things like that. It's not easily replaceable workforce. Are you talking about hundreds of people?
Yes, yes, in our area, yes. I can tell you nationwide with the Haitians, when we renew every 18 months or 6 months, whatever the case may be, the state of Florida and the state of New York are the only two states that have their own P.O. box to submit the TPS to. The other 48 states go to one P.O. box, which tells you the majority of the 50,000 Haitians are in two states.
Yeah, and a lot of them are in South Florida because I guess it's kind of closer.
Yeah. Yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, similar types of climate. And, you know, also there before the TPS, back in the 90s, we had a program under President Clinton, the HRIFA, Haitian Refugee Immigration Fairness Act. So there's a history of Haitians in this area. And so, there, you know, in a typical family, you will have family members who are now U.S. citizens, family members that have legal permanent resident, the green card, and then family members with TPS.
Yeah. If you're just joining the show, we're talking with Christina Ledeen. She's an immigration specialist with the Amigo Center in Fort Myers. You can become part of this conversation, too, by giving us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Can you tell me a little bit about your background? You've been working in immigration in this area since 1995. Have you seen a lot of changes over the years?
Yes. You know, back in the 90s, I started out in Catholic Charities, and what I realized with time is we were having clients waiting 2 months to get in to see us because the demand was so great in this area for low-cost immigration. And so in 2001, I moved over to Amigo Center and started the immigration program. And we now have, you know, an attorney that works with me and graduated from Ave Maria School of Law, and myself, a couple of assistants, and you know, the Haitian community is very large, as well as Mexicans, Guatemalans, Jamaicans, Dominicans, Cubans, you know, a lot of the Caribbean and then Central America, you know, those countries. We even have some Canadian clients and, you know, some out of Europe and Asia and Africa, but the majority are, you know, either from the Caribbean, Central America, Mexico, and Canada.
Mm-hmm. So what is the process like for people with TPS? We talked a little bit about the renewals that you mentioned earlier. Do people have to walk in and apply? And how does the Amigo Center help with that?
So, yeah, when the government, like last night they announced it, but now we have to wait for it to be published in the Federal Register before we can start renewing. So somebody who's already been a client of ours, you know, they'll call us and we'll set up the appointment to have them come in and renew it. If somebody, say, has just moved here from New York City and, you know, brings their file with them, or we can get, you know, copies of their old file, then we'll start doing it if they move to this area. Sometimes we have somebody, you know, like when it first opened, it was definitely the first time you're applying. There's a lot more that goes into it because you have to prove that you've been here and that you're from that country and no criminal. With TPS, they're very strict about criminal, and if somebody has two misdemeanors or one felony, they will be kicked out of the program. So, you know, sometimes you could have something, you know, like driving without a license, and if you have two of those, you could be kicked out of the program. So, you know, you definitely want to make sure with the clients that they're always doing what they need to do so that they don't lose their chance to stay in the program and that they renew every time they need to. Because sometimes we have clients show up that maybe did it on their own or did it with somebody who's not qualified to be doing immigration, and they've run into trouble. The case has been rejected. It's come back to them. Now they have to resubmit it. And so we make sure that we get them in, get them properly submitted. And once they're in, then do renewing or every time that the government tells us, whether it's every 6 months or 18 months.
It sounds like a pretty bureaucratic situation, and you really have to make sure that all the T's are crossed and the I's dotted, not only when it comes to the application and then renewing, but also in other aspects of life, including, you know, making sure you have an up-to-date driver's license, things like that, because those small missteps can get you kicked out.
Yes, yes. And we do, over the years with TPS, where we've been working with the Haitians, but also in this area, Salvadorans, Hondurans, Nicaraguans, I have TPS also, you know, through the years, something in their personal life may have changed that maybe can move them out of TPS into a green card. And so if we can do that, we do that. So every year I might have somebody who, say, something in their personal life has changed. They've fallen in love, gotten married. Now we can do a case through a spouse. Or somebody who has a son or daughter who's turned 21 is a U.S. citizen, and then we can do something through that son or daughter. So we always, whenever they come in to renew, see, is there a way we can move you beyond TPS?
Yeah, instead of staying on that endless loop of renewals. So what is the path forward for someone who is here on TPS? I mean, is there any way for people to slide over into a green card situation or try to avoid it, or are they just out of luck after 18 months?
I mean, what we've got a lot of clients that are in process right now trying to move beyond TPS, but many of the Haitians have a complicated history with immigration where they may have come in, depending on when they came in the 90s, may have filed for political asylum, may have not won that case, so they may have an order of deportation, but now the TPS is protecting them. If in the meantime they have a son and daughter who turns 21 and is a U.S. citizen, or if they, you know, marry a citizen spouse, then we may be able to move them out of TPS, but it does not happen overnight because the forms have got to go in. That's got to be processed. At some point, they've got to open up the old court case in Miami from the deportation, get that closed out properly. So there are a lot of steps that happen. So we have a lot of Haitians that are in process to move to green cards, but it's not going to happen overnight.
And can that continue to move forward if they are, if it's not cleared up by that deadline of 18 months from now? If can they be sent back to Haiti and then still be in the process of trying to get that green card?
They, I mean, there's definitely people that, let's say their status just ends because they forget to renew, or they, you know, next July 2019 hits and they aren't ready to move to that final step to the green card. Depending on each person's case, of course, is differently. Some people may be able to get a green card in the U.S. even if they're out of status for the moment. Some people may not and may have to go back to Haiti to get do that final step. And some of them are going to need special waivers so they don't get stuck out for 10 years as a penalty. So, you know, each person's case is different. But, you know that we know that we've got 18 months and it's over, you're definitely going to, you know, when people are in to renew, see, you know, what options or where we at with potentially moving you out of TPS. But there's definitely, we've got whole families that everybody has TPS. So, you know, at this point, we don't know what else is going to be there for them unless Congress does something more.
Well, there are two different bipartisan bills that have been proposed in Congress that would give legal resident status to people with TPS right now. Is legislation like this something that you actually track? Do you try to keep track of what they're doing?
We, you know, as a nonprofit doing immigration, we're part of a larger network of nonprofits, and so we do have attorneys on staff at the, you know, national level that are, you know, in contact daily with Congress and what's being put forth. And if at some point they need us to, you know, push forward as agencies supporting that bill, we definitely do. You know, we would love to see something that could move people with TPS to permanent status, because depending on how many years they've been here and owning homes and families, you know, people are going to want to leave in 18 months. I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about TPS, or temporary protected status, during this part of today's show. The Trump administration announced its decision last night to end TPS for Haitians living in the U.S. since the 2010 earthquake there. I'm talking right now with immigration specialist Christina Ladine. She is with the Amigo Center in Fort Myers. If you want to get involved in this conversation, give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. And we talked a little bit earlier about the family sponsor, where either someone falls in love and gets married and has a spouse that can sponsor them for a green card, and then also children who have turned 21 who are U.S. citizens that can then turn around and sponsor their parents to come in. What happens on the younger end of that if someone is here on TPS status and happens to have a child while they're in America?
That child is a U.S. citizen, but that child would not be able to file for that parent until that child turns 21.
Okay, so then if the parent then is sent back to Haiti and they take their child with them, does that child then retain their U.S. citizenship?
Yes. I mean, what we always recommend if somebody is taking a citizen child to live in another country, that before you leave, make sure you have their, you know, up-to-date birth certificate, Social Security number, and a U.S. passport, because the problem with a birth certificate doesn't have a photo on it. And the U.S. passport, depending on the age of the child, may only be good for 5 years, but you can always renew U.S. passports for children outside the U.S. at the American embassy or consulate in the foreign country.
Okay. Well, that's
just so that if, you know, the child goes out at age one, you know, and doesn't come back into the U.S. till, let's say, age 20, that they've got an up-to-date passport when they try to get back in, so that, you know, they can prove that their name on that birth certificate is them.
Yeah, the looks kind of change between year 1 and year 20.
Yeah.
is there any connection at all between TPS and DACA, or the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals?
We do have a lot of young people with TPS that would have qualified for DACA, except there was one caveat when that came out in June 2012 by President Obama, was that they could not have had legal status on June 15, 2012. So a lot of our young people with TPS, the parents wanted them to switch to DACA, but we could not switch them to DACA because they had TPS June 15, 2012. So, you know, we definitely, if DACA moves forward with some type of DREAM Act, which at this point we don't know, but if that were to happen, we're hoping that the way that bill would be written or that law would allow the TPS young people that were in the age U.S. before the age of 16 had been here, you know, many years and would have qualified for DACA except for having had TPS, that hopefully they'll be able to take advantage also, because I have many TPS holders in high school and college studying just like the DACA young people.
Mm-hmm. Have you talked to any of your Haitian clients today since this announcement?
I've already had some stop by this morning and want to renew, and I've told them I can't give them an appointment until the government opens it up, and then, you know, as soon as they do, then we'll start issuing appointments, so we're definitely saving slots for our Haitian TPS clients. I know since all this started last summer, I mean, I've had clients tell me their blood pressure has gone up, they're under stress, you know, they can't sleep, and I've told them, you know, just take a deep breath. We'll take it one step at a time. You know, first we got that 6 months, now we've got 18 months. But, you know, a lot of just calming of fears. And then now, of course, knowing when can I reapply, but we can't do it yet.
What are they looking at when it comes to going home? Say somebody arrived. I mean, do you have an example maybe of a client that, without giving their name or anything, that maybe came here in 2011 and is got a job and they're doing well in their job and they're making payments on their home, they're maybe a homeowner. What are they looking at going back to?
I mean, the question would be, will most of them go back to Haiti? I'm not sure. I mean, I have a feeling, you know, they would probably go to, depending on, you know, if they have family, either in Bahamas, St. Martin, Dominican Republic, you know, Canada, France. I mean, because a lot of them over the years have migrated to other countries. So how many would go back to Haiti itself? I would say very few at this point.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, even in Brazil, I had a huge bunch of Haitians there. But then as the economy went down there, they came up through Mexico. And some have now come into the U.S. and some have gone into Canada.
Yeah. But how is this decision last night going to be impacting your work on a day-to-day basis?
I'd say the next few months are going to be really stressful for so many of our TPS holders from Honduras, Nicaragua, Haiti, and El Salvador, because those four countries that we do have a concentration of people from those four countries in Southwest Florida. They, you know, they're going to be needing to renew. You know, we've just gone through the hurricane. The holidays are coming. So it is going to be a stressful time for them, and them knowing that this renewal is probably going to be the last, depending on the country.
And we talked earlier about their way forward, which is usually you seem to indicate that the family sponsorship is the way that most people would be able to, if possible, gain a green card. There's no other way? Is there any kind of like an employer sponsorship if somebody's employed by...
I mean, there may be some other ways. You know, political asylum, filing for political asylum in some cases may be an option, you know, possibly through an employer. But in terms of through an employer, there's some requirements in terms of somebody never having been in the U.S. without legal status. So depending on when a person came in, when their first TPS was granted, they may have not always had status, and so then a company would be blocked from filing for them unless they were to go back to Haiti to get the work visa, and most of them would not want to take that risk.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, political asylum may be another avenue for some, you know, something through the court system if they were placed into immigration court. You know, there may be options that a judge could do, another avenue such as the 10-year defense. But that's only if a person's placed into immigration proceedings.
So last night's decision was about TPS status for Haitians only, or is it all TPS countries?
It was for Haitians. I mean, we have been told that Nicaragua is ending also. Honduras got a six-month extension similar to Haiti did last summer. And so now we're waiting to hear what's going to happen with them long-term. And then El Salvador, their current TPS ends in March of next year. So we're waiting to see what's going to happen with that.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there for now, but I want to thank our guest, Christina Ladine. She's an immigration specialist there at the Amigo Center in Fort Myers. Christina, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
I appreciate it. Coming up, mold is a constant threat in our steamy climate, but after a storm like Hurricane Irma, it's the after-the-fact evidence that some way, somehow, water might have gotten into your home. We're talking all about mold with a panel of experts right after this.